Anybody else? Got a question for you. Who wants a better life for you in your old age? Anybody? How many of you desire a better life, a better world for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? How many of you are motivated by that? You are in overwhelming company, folks. Not just in this building, but all around the globe. From the Katrina survivors in Louisiana, to the Iraqis dodging bullets in Baghdad, from the Sudanese refugees in Darfur, to the auto workers right here in Metro Detroit. Most every person in this place, on this planet, we desire a safer, saner, more caring, more sharing world for ourselves and for our descendants. It's a universal aspiration. And it's one that we see because it crops up not just in our political promises during election season, but it also crops up in our media, in our movies, in our songs. And this is a very popular song that I've asked the group to play that really reflects this universal human aspiration for a better tomorrow.
Beneath the trees, we watch the sky, confusing stars for satellites. Never dreamed you'd be mine, but here we are, here tonight, singing amen, amen. I'm alive. Singing amen, I'm alive. If everyone can, nobody cry. If everyone love, nobody lie. If everyone share, swallow the pride. We see the day, nobody dying. I'm singing amen, amen, I, amen, I. Sing along, singing amen, amen. I'm alive,
I'm alive.
Singing amen, I'm alive. If everyone can, no one cry. If everyone love, no one lie. Everyone share, swallow the pride. We sing the day. If everyone can, nobody cry. Everyone love, nobody lie. Everyone share, swallow the pride. We see the day when no one dies. As we lie beneath the stars, we realize how small we are. If they can learn like you and me, imagine what the world would be. If everyone can, nobody cry. If everyone love, nobody lie. If everyone share, swallow the pride. We sing today, nobody lie.
If everyone cared and nobody cried, if everyone loved and nobody lied, if everyone shared and swallowed their pride, what kind of day would we see then? Doesn't your heart long for that kind of place, that kind of planet, that kind of culture? I share that desire, and that's what I think one of the things that makes that song so popular. It's not just good music by a good band, but that ambition resonates with almost every living person, doesn't it? Does that resonate with you? Absolutely. We all desire a better tomorrow, a better future, a better place for ourselves, our kids, our grandkids. We all long for that change. I mean, we're created with heaven in our hearts, folks. And sometimes, with the way that we behave toward one another, we have to endure hell on earth, don't we? And we long for something better. We long for heaven. And I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, if there is one change that you and I can make to achieve that objective, to make this place better, I believe it'd be to give, to grow, and to show respect. And I'm not alone in this assessment. Why don't you take out, open up your programs, would you? Take that out. I've got a quote from President Harry Truman. Just want to read it to you. President Truman once stated, "We must build a new world, a far better world, one in which the eternal dignity of man is respected." I want you to underline those words, eternal dignity of man, or eternal dignity of humanity. When that is respected, it's really the start of making this a better place. You see, I believe that respecting others is a key, if not the key, to building a better world. It begins by building a better character, by building a better heart in you and I. A heart that sees people as having eternal dignity. And sees my obligation of extending respect and care and courtesy. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I think our culture is awful thin on these things. We do things that there are people in this room that could never have imagined 40 years ago that we would do. In our culture, correct? It's true. I like what R.C. Samsel said. He said, "Character is the foundation stone upon which one must build to win respect. Just as no worthy building can be erected on a weak foundation, so no lasting reputation worthy of respect can be built on a weak character." That's what we're focusing on. Becoming Christ-like in our character so that we give and we merit respect. Without a change of heart, folks, without an extreme makeover of our souls, the kind that only God can give us, we won't build a better tomorrow. With all of the philosophies and political strategies and all of the money and the effort that we have made toward making this place better, this world better, we have mixed results, don't we? We've tried more taxes, more government, less government. We've tried pacifism and protests. We've justified war. And really, it's shown us that you just can't impose it from the outside. It's got to be from the inside out. That's God's job. That's our job too. Why should we treat everybody with respect? Let me give you some examples that might motivate you. Because I'm telling you, we're on a slippery slope. It feels good to be disrespectful, doesn't it? And irreverent. It's really viral and contagious. And if we're honest, we'll acknowledge that. It feels good to tell someone off when they're rude to you. Or to let them have it. Or to give them a piece of your mind. Hello? That's right, my wife says preach it. I'll tell you why we should treat everyone with respect. Number one, God made everyone. God made everyone. And I think that's what Harry Truman is talking about, recognizing the eternal dignity that we have to respect in everyone. He's writing it from a Judeo-Christian perspective. Respect begins by recognizing that we all are created in God's image, in God's likeness. I like what the Good News Translation has to say about Psalm 8:5. It says, "You, that is God, you, God, made man only inferior only to yourself. You crown him with glory and honor." Other translations say, "We're made just below the angels, the heavenly beings." The story of our beginnings in the book of Genesis, that story reveals that we humans are made, we're made in the image, in the likeness of God. We alone, we have an eternal component, a spirit, a soul. And we alone have a will which enables us to be response-able, to respond to life by intention rather than by instinct. We're different from every other species on this planet. We've got a unique purpose, and that's to reign in God's place on this planet. And that gives every person here, every person on this planet, eternal dignity. You want to be respected, don't you? I've never had anybody that tells me, "No, you know what? I don't want to be respected." Imagine, it sounds absurd. You chuckle at it, right? We can't imagine anyone saying that. It's so innate to us. Respect is one of your basic needs in life. It's a value that society is built on, that a stable family, stable marriage, a stable life, civilization. Without it, humans and human rights, civilization just decays, doesn't it? Disintegrates. Just look at Iraq or Darfur or Congo. Without respect, life can be hell on earth. Respect is a building block of heaven itself. I'm going to open up to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. And you can follow along if you'd like. I've got it up on the overhead, I think. Yeah. It's on the overhead. So Paul, here's what Peter says. Peter says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake," verse 13, "to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who are wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right, by being respectful, by being compliant with laws, by treating others with dignity, that you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, those liberated by Christ's forgiveness. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect for everyone or to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Then he goes on and he speaks to a very tough situation. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. They're there involuntarily. They didn't choose slavery, did they? They live in a system which degrades human beings, treats them like property. And even in the midst of that, what Peter says is don't respond in kind. If you're a Christ follower, God holds you to a standard of respect. A respect that you might not be given, but yet you're to sow. Submit yourselves to the masters with all respect. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. You know what the scripture says? That we're to respect people even when they're jerks to us. I don't know about you, but I didn't want to hear that. Because when people are jerks to me, my preference is to give them a piece of my mind. Hello? For it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering. Listen, because he is conscious of God. Wow. It's God consciousness that can give us respect and enable us to be self-controlled and respectful to jerks. That's right. God consciousness. Now, the Bible is real specific about who to respect, and I've given you some bullet points in your outline. It says honor your parents. Man, that makes it in God's top 10 of rules, doesn't it? Number 5, children, honor your father and mother. Husbands, you're to honor your wives. 1 Peter 3:7. Wives, you're to honor your husbands, to treat them with respect. And that's Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 24 and verse 33. We're all to honor the elderly. That's what God established Israeli society to do. He said, stand up in the presence of the aged. I remember a day when we stood up when people came in the room. We stood up in the presence. How many of you remember that? Now we just chill out, don't we? It says we respect legitimate authorities. Man, I don't know about you, but our culture lampoons leaders. We assassinate leaders. It's open season on leaders of any kind. And lastly, church leaders too. It says to honor them no matter what they wear. Chinos or blue jeans. But honor them. Treat them with dignity and respect. I'll be honest with you. You know, you have plenty of want to quit days in the ministry. And some of the things that make me want to quit the most are the way that believers treat me. Especially when they are ungrateful, disloyal, disrespectful. Those are the things that just make me want to throw up my hands and go, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I lay down my life for people that are basically ungrateful, selfish, and disrespectful? I do it for one reason. It's because Jesus Christ tells me to do it, and I can't say no, Lord, in one sentence. And lastly, it says, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. The Bible says that there are no worthless people. Though people do worthless things, all of us are created in God's image, no matter how marred by sin and by selfishness. Remember that. Why treat people with respect? Because God made everyone. Number 2, because Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Paul writes, or Peter writes, God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. If that's not a statement of how much God values us, I don't know what else is. Paul says, very rarely will anyone die for a good man, though for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love to us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us.
Wow.
God saw something in us that we didn't see in ourselves, folks. We have value. The Bible says that God loves us so much. So much. Jesus Christ died for you. Just as He died for all those around you, including the jerks at your place of employment, in your neighborhood, or in your school, the people that you don't think deserve respect. And Jesus is watching you. He's watching to see how you treat the people that He died for. And you know, it's easy to be disrespectful and to say hurtful things. And to let disrespect come out of our hearts toward people that we don't like, that we're angry at, that we feel are treating us unjustly or acting like jerks. We've got a little clip that may just kind of bring home the point that though God made every one of us, Jesus died for every one of us, it's easy to slip into this perspective of disrespect and to hurt people. Get the point? Yeah. We need to remember how God sees everyone. We need to remember what Harry Truman talked about, the eternal dignity of every human person, every human being. Why treat people with respect? Because God made everyone, because Jesus died for everyone, and thirdly, because it shows that you know God. It shows that you know God. John says, if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love. And one of the very basic ways that we demonstrate love to other people is we treat them with courtesy, with care, and with respect. Correct? I mean, how many of you, when your spouse is disrespectful to you, you make that equivocation. You say, you know what, you don't love me. If you love me, you would treat me respectfully. We equate those things, don't we? They're interchangeable in relationships. Love equals respect. You see, the Bible says that love is not rude. 1 Corinthians 13. You know? I fall short of that a lot. How about you? Ask my wife. I fall short of that. And that rudeness is simply disrespect. I like Rick Warren said, if I'm rude to you, it means I don't care about you. You don't matter to me. You're not worth much. You're not valuable in my eyes. When I'm rude, I'm basically saying, I'm the only thing that matters. You don't matter, I do. So I treat you with disgust or disrespect, rudely. That summarizes it very well, doesn't it? Why treat everyone with respect? Because it shows you know God. And lastly, because I'll get what I give. I'll get what I give. Hindus call it karma. We say what goes around comes around. The Bible says that a man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. What goes around comes around. What? Life boomerangs back, doesn't it? So you do yourself a favor when you're respectful, when you're kind, when you're generous. Conversely, it never pays to be rude, does it? It might feel good. It might give you a short-term gain. It might provoke somebody to comply at the moment. But in the long run, you'll reap what you sow, won't you? Culturally, we're reaping what we've sowed. I like what Emerson said, Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, men are respectable only as they respect. He just summarized that axiom that you reap what you sow. I really believe that God wants us to examine ourselves, because we all want to be respected. Therefore, if you want to be respected, doesn't it make sense that you want to sow what you want to reap in faith? Absolutely. Yet we're so driven by our feelings rather than a vision of what can be, rather than God's perspective, which sees all people as created in His image and likeness and as people that Jesus died for. So we let our feelings drive us. I believe that one of life's greatest challenges, and we'll see how many of you agree with me, I think one of life's greatest challenges is to sow respect into the lives of others who are not respectful to you. Hello? I think it's one of life's greatest challenges. Why should you sow respect? Why should you do it when people aren't respectful to you? Because you'll get what you give. Because Jesus died for everybody. Because God created everyone, even the biggest jerk that you know, in His image and likeness. And lastly, because it shows to that jerk that you know God. That's why you should be respectful. So how do you show respect to others? Well, let me give you 6 ways. Number one, when you're speaking to others, be tactful, not just truthful. The Bible says that a secret to succeeding life is tactfulness. It's the emotional lubricant in relationships, isn't it? Our trash-talking culture confuses rudeness with frankness. But they're not synonyms. The Bible notes that kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. A gentle answer turns away wrath, King Wise Solomon noted. And the Bible says that God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love. You see, it's not enough to just know the truth. You've got to be able to convey the truth in a loving, respectful way. Otherwise, it won't be received by others, will it? No. Do you ever tell somebody something in anger that was true and they just did not receive it? Why? Your disrespect closed the door. Because that's what it does. We defend ourselves from others' disrespectfulness because we each have a God-given inherent sense of dignity, don't we? It says, I don't deserve that. Don't talk to me that way. And so the message is drowned out by the medium it's conveyed in. If it's anger, resentment, disrespect. He says, God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who's the source of everything we do. And I just want to remind you, Jesus Christ showed the ultimate form of respect, didn't He? He laid down His life. Not just for His friends, but for His enemies, because He valued them so much and wanted to rescue and redeem them from the penalty of their sins. That's awesome, mind-blowing thing. Be tactful, not just truthful. Telling it like it is without love is rude. It's mean. It's disrespectful. It's just simply unchristian. Taking others' feelings into account, telling the truth is tactful and tactful matter. That's loving. So God wants you to be tactful, not just truthful. Secondly, how do you show respect to others? When you're being served, be understanding and not demanding. How many of you work in the retail industry? You work in retail, okay. Wait, oh, Susie, my, oh, my. Oh, man. From what I hear, and human service is the same thing too. From what I hear, retailers are facing an epidemic of rudeness. I hear horror stories about people. It's incredible how rude shoppers are, how demanding customers are. I just think our consumerist culture is, it's making us into uglier people. You see, I really believe that the real you comes out in the way you behave toward others who serve you, who owe you, or to whom you don't own a nickel or owe a nickel to. You see, lots of us are kind and courteous to people that we owe, that we're indebted to, right? I mean, even Hitler was affectionate and respectful toward his girlfriend. But man, the real you comes out when you don't have a nickel in it, or when you feel that people owe you. That's when the real you comes out. And that's when that disrespect and that demandingness can surface. See, love is understanding. It's not demanding. We fail most often to love and respect those who serve us the most. And I'm thinking of our spouses, our parents, within the family. We believe that they owe us. So we're demanding and sometimes demeaning. I've discovered in my marriage coaching that very often the most disrespectful people in the world share your roof with you, maybe even your bed with you. No, it shouldn't be that way, should it? If there's anyone that you ought to be on your best behavior with, shouldn't it be your spouse? Shouldn't it be your family, your blood? I think so. Shouldn't it be God's family? Those are people you're going to spend eternity with? Psychologist Willard Harley has identified disrespectful judgments and selfish demands as two of the most toxic behaviors that you can bring into a marriage, into a family. Why is it you'll say something to a spouse or a child or a parent that you wouldn't say to a stranger on the street? We give ourselves permission to be ugly to the people that we think owe us understanding and forgiveness. We shouldn't do that. We need to be in our best behavior. We need to make homes safe places. We need to think win-win with the people that we're closest to in life. And we do that by being respectful, by being caring and courteous at all times, and not giving ourselves permission to act out our anger, our disappointment, our pain. Be tactful, not just truthful. Be understanding, not just demanding. How do you show respect? When others disagree with, when you disagree with others, be gentle, not judgmental. Be gentle, not judgmental. Telling the truth is not being judgmental, but telling the truth to put people down, to hurt or guilt trip them, it is. I just started reading this book put out by the Barner Research Group. It's called Unchristian. And it talks about how the attitudes of younger adults in particular are becoming increasingly antagonistic toward Christians and Christianity in America. And I'll be honest with you, as I read the book, I sadly have to nod my head in agreement. Because most of these things we bring on ourselves. We've sowed it, now we're receiving it. And one of the things that non-Christians don't like about Christians, especially fundamentalist-type Christians, is that we are judgmental and harsh with them. Wow. In fact, it says he writes that one of the reasons Christians have an image problem is that non-Christians see us as judgmental, that we're always trying to justify our feelings of moral or spiritual superiority. You see, Jesus shows us, there's plenty of examples in his blueprint for life. Jesus shows that you can disagree with people and treat them with dignity and respect and courtesy. I think about the woman that was caught in adultery, was brought before him to get stoned. He disagreed with her lifestyle, didn't he? He made it very clear when he talked to a woman, a Samaritan woman. But you know what? He treated that woman, even though he vehemently opposed her lifestyle, he treated her what? With dignity, with respect. He even risked his life to protect that woman. Man, that's an example, folks. That's an example that I think God wants us to follow. Those are big shoes to fill, aren't they? Really big shoes. He said, I don't condemn you. And then he said, go and leave your life of sin. Wow. What power did that loving, protecting gesture bring? And how did it impact her? I think it changed her life. Want to be a life changer? Learn to be gentle, not judgmental. 4, how do you respect others? When you share your faith, accept, don't reject them. Accept, don't reject them. Here's another area where Christ followers in particular need an extreme maker of the heart. It's in the area of acceptance. Jesus accepted people as having God-given value and dignity. Even the Gadarene demoniac, the maniac, Jesus was approachable by that guy, wasn't he? He accepted people as having God-given dignity without endorsing their selfish or sinful lifestyles. And he tells each of us to share his good news with everyone, to connect people to Christ, because he alone can give these hearts of theirs that extreme makeover that every one of us needs. And we need to learn to accept people, not endorsing their lifestyles, to accept them as human beings created in the image and likeness of God with the capacity to change. Have you ever written anybody off? Hello? We'll never change. We just rejected that person, didn't we? Not in God's eyes. Everyone can change in God's eyes. That's why we're planning on doing a Christmas Eve at Eisenhower, at the Performing Arts Center. Because God places that responsibility to go and to share with us. And we're going to do that. We're going to take our service to where our community is used to going, to a school auditorium. Jesus tells, he tells us to share our faith. Peter tells us how to share our faith, and I'd like you to follow along with that. He says, always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain about the hope you have, but answer in a gentle way and with respect. And that's what we want to learn to do around here. How do I show respect to others? Well, I accept, not reject them. And when others correct you, accept it, don't argue. Hello? Accept correction, don't argue. Almost every one of us standing in this room or sitting here have been unteachable at some point in time. Somebody gave us a piece of advice, and frankly, we dismissed it because we were full of ourselves, or we just did not like or respect that person. Correct? It conveys disrespect, doesn't it? When you dismiss advice outright. And I'm going to ask you for an honest response. How many of you don't particularly like to be told what to do? Anybody else? Not particularly fond of being told what to do. Especially when it's unsolicited. Doesn't it irritate you? If you're a guy, like, you don't want unsolicited advice because it conveys disrespect. It says, I see that you're incompetent. I need to help you. So wives, I'm just telling you, I know that you're trying to convey love when you offer unsolicited advice to your husband, but through his blue lens, it communicates disrespect. I just thought I'd clue you in on that. But a lot of that, and vice versa too, by the way. But a lot of us, we don't give our wives permission to freely advise us, do we? Because we're proud. We think we know it all. And so she's got to squeeze her advice in the margins of our lives, rather than sit down with our spouse and say, honey, how am I doing this week? Little tune-ups or check-ups here, little character check-ups. How many of you wives would like your husband to say, you know, that'd be nice on a Friday night over coffee or dessert if he just asked me, honey, how am I doing this week? You know I'm going to get beat up after the service, don't you? But it's just a suggestion, folks. You know, yet most of us don't like it, yet correction is an essential part of life, isn't it? It's true. If you're not corrected, you're going to careen into something. You're going to crash and burn. And it's usually out of our love and concern for others. We don't want to see you crash and burn. That's why we offer you advice. And it shows respect not to dismiss it outright. In fact, let me take a look at, I want to show you in Proverbs, excuse me, the connection between respect and obedience or responsiveness. It says, respect and obey the Lord. This is the beginning of knowledge. Only a fool rejects wisdom and good advice. So I just want to show you that it connects respect and taking good advice. And God wants us to learn to do that, to have humility. To see that others can speak into our lives and to give them permission. That's what small groups is all about, isn't it? I mean, one of the great values of small groups is that as we get close to people, as we connect with them like Jesus did, face to face and heart to heart and house to house, we open up our hearts. We give people permission to speak into our lives, don't we? And wisdom is found in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says. So I just got a question for you. Why aren't you in a small group? Could it be in part because you think, you know what, I don't need their advice. I got this Christianity thing down. You know what, that's pride. God wants to protect you from that. He says pride comes before a fall, man. Like you'll set yourself up to crash into things. You all need advice, and we all need advisors. Please consider that. You all need a training team if you really want to grow faster and further than you could on your own. So get in a small group, would you? The Bible calls it pride, but it's really misplaced confidence. And God's Word warns us, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Humility is confidence properly placed, and it comes from honestly evaluating yourself. How do you show respect to others? Last point, point six. When others are rude to you, respond politely. Respond politely, because you'll give back, you'll get back what you give out. You can choose to return disrespect, but you are lowering yourself to their level. And God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be an example of Jesus Christ, who always treated people with respect and dignity. God's Word says, don't repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do you do that? It's when you don't give people the bad they deserve. That's called mercy. It's when you give people the good they don't particularly deserve. That's called grace. God sets the example. He gave us grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. And He wants us to do the same. Don't repay them evil for evil. That doesn't mean that you don't confront rudeness, that you should enable people in their sin. No, that's not what it means, but it means that when you confront rudeness, you do it respectfully. That's the example that Jesus sets in the Bible. Matthew 18:15 and following. go to your brother just between the two of you or sister. See, real Christianity, it's about relationship, isn't it? You're offended by rudeness because you share God's sense of personal dignity. It shows you're uniquely created by God. And you're offended by disrespect. You know what? God is offended by disrespect too. When you ignore God's advice, when you dismiss His leadership in your life, when you choose to act selfishly or self-indulgently, you convey disrespect to God. And I want you to know that that offends God. But God has made provision for reconciliation, hasn't He? It's through confessing your sins, admitting your wrongs, asking His forgiveness, and inviting His leadership in your life. My prayer is that every one of you have done that this day. Because true Christianity is a relationship of love, trust, respect, and obedience to Jesus as forgiver and leader in life. I just want to button it up with a prayer and a closing comment. You know, this piece of respect is so integral to our character. It's something we can't afford to neglect in our own lives. And it's something that we can't allow our culture to infect us with. And we live in a disrespectful age, don't we? God is calling us to set a different standard, to change the culture by sowing respect and courtesy and treating everyone with the dignity they deserve because they're created in God's image, in God's likeness. And that includes you and respecting yourself. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank You that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank You that we alone, as You reminded us today in this message, we alone are created in Your image, in Your likeness. And Father God, we admit that we have been disrespectful. We have failed to listen to Your words. We failed to obey Your directives, Father God. We failed to honor Your place of leadership in our lives. We've despised some of the people that You've created in Your image and likeness. We've been rude to them, demanding. We've had closed ears to their advice. And we've responded in kind when they were jerks to us. Father, forgive us. Holy Spirit, come in and challenge and change our hearts that we can become respectful as You are respectful. And Father God, we thank You that while we're living selfishly, rebelliously, You respected us enough to care for our deepest need, to give us forgiveness through Jesus Christ.